Welcome once again, my friends, to the Irish in Sweden podcast. My name is Philip O'Connor and we're back after the Easter break. Well, back-ish, lads. I hope you're doing well. No doubt you're doing better than me because for the last week I've been flat on my back again. If you've been paying attention recently, you'll know that I've had more colds this year than I think I've ever had in my life. I don't know if it's COVID. I don't know what the hell is going on altogether. But yeah, sure enough, I had hoped to do a podcast there last week on Tuesday or Wednesday about the start of the Allsvenskan, and that just didn't happen because I've been smashed over completely, and it's all I can do now to stop coughing and spluttering long enough to talk to you and to do this old intro. And every time this happens, like, you know, because I'm self-employed and because I make these podcasts myself, this podcast and the Global Gale podcast and everything, things keep going on in the background because if you don't do things, then they just mount up. So at the moment now, I'm absolutely up to my ears and stuff that I have to catch up with, and an awful lot of it is to do with the Irish community right here in Sweden. And the first thing that I have to tell you about is that there's an exhibition upcoming here in Stockholm on the 18th of April. You will remember that I had Carrie Cook and Sarah Galligan were on the podcast a little while ago talking about the Arrivals exhibition, which is going to be taking place at the Ambassador's Residence on the 18th of April, right? That's amazing how quickly that comes around. It's only been, it was a few weeks ago since the idea happened and that kind of thing. And what it is it's, Carrie is kind of one of the driving forces behind it. I think it's part of an exhibition that she wanted to put together, and it's generously supported by the Irish Chamber of Commerce in Sweden, but she wanted to open it up and not just exhibit her work but exhibit loads of other artwork as well. So the theme for the event is Arrivals, and they were accepting submissions until recently, and now they've decided what they're going to do, and that's about it, right? So if you want to see the exhibition, right, it's from 6 o'clock until 7:30 on April the 18th at the residence of the Ambassador to Ireland, the Ambassador of Ireland to Sweden, Her Excellency Barbara Jones, right? Now, lads, don't turn up at the embassy. Not at the embassy, at the residence, as far as I know, right? For tickets, you need to send an email to Events Stockholm. That's EVNTS Stockholm at DFA.ie. Just tell them that you're interested in going to the Arrivals exhibition on April the 18th, and the boys and girls there at the embassy will look after that, and they'll stick the name on a list and they'll make sure that you get the tickets that you're looking for. One of the great things about the Easter break, despite some of the inclement weather, we had some lovely weather and then we had some not so lovely weather, and we got some more snow, certainly down in the south of Sweden. I don't know if it ever melted up in Javna and Sundsvall and those kinds of places, but yeah, then it came back with a vengeance, and now hopefully it's gone and that the spring can start and the summer can start, because I know the Stockholm Gales were out today for the first time on the artificial pitch out in Skarpnäck, and I've seen from our friends in the Viking Gales hurling, and from Copenhagen GAA, and from the Malmö GAA team were playing international rules yesterday. I think it looked like they were out in Limhamn beating the Aussies, as they do all the time. Congratulations, lads and ladies, on doing that. So yeah, the Gaelic football season is starting to kick off now soon enough, and the Camogie is back in Stockholm. So big shout out to Michelle Cotter and to everybody else who was involved in Gaelic football around the region. I can't wait for it to get started. First tournament is going to be on the 27th of April down in Copenhagen, and lads, yes, the answer is yes, right? The boots are going on. Season number 15 coming up here. Now, I may not have played all the games we've ever played, but I've certainly turned out at least once every season going back to 2010. So I think myself and a couple of others might be some of the longest tenured players in Nordic Gaelic football at this point in time, but it's a great thing to be able to boast about. And you never know, you might see me at the edge of the square down there in Copenhagen. A brilliant interview for you this week, just because of the guy that I've spoken to. So we're here over the Easter. Myself and my wife's family were over, and we had lovely lamb shanks done in red wine, everything else. I have a great time altogether. And I don't really watch telly, right? And especially don't really watch Swedish telly. I'll watch The Late Late, or I might watch Tommy Tiernan, and I'd certainly watch the Gaelic football and the hurling and that kind of thing. But I don't watch entertainment telly very much. So then my wonderful niece Tila tells me that there's an Irish guy on Robinson. And I went, well, hang on a second here. So what did I do? She didn't. I look him up straight away. And 5 minutes later, weren't we chatting away on Instagram there. Mark Bannon is this chap's name, right? And as I said, I would have interviewed him last week if I had had my health about me and that kind of thing. But I was going, look, we'll get you on the show this week. Now, he's currently on Robinson, which I think is on SVT. I can't remember which channel it's on, right? But it's basically Survivor, right? They send him off onto this desert island and that kind of thing. And he explains how he got into it and everything else like that. Fascinating character altogether, from Cork in Ireland. So I said, get him on to have a chat. Now, we can't reveal any of the results on that kind of day, right? He has to sign non-disclosure forms because people gamble on this wild shit. And, you know, what would be the point of watching a show like that if you know who's going to win it anyway, you know? So here he is anyway, the wonderful Mark Bannon, and not living in one of the big cities, lads. Living in Fellingsbro, of all places. And no, I didn't know where that was before he told me either. So here he is, Mark Bannon on the Irish in Sweden podcast. Mark Bannon from Fellingsbro. I was just saying that we've had an awful lot of people from an awful lot of parts of the country here, you know, Stockholm and Gothenburg and Gävle and everywhere, but never Fellingsbro. How on earth did you wind up there?
Fellingsbro, that's the one question I get asked all the time. How did you end up in this little shithole of a place with 1,500 people and one lad from Ireland?
You're the only Irish representative there. That must be very lonely on St. Patrick's Day, is it?
It's grand. It's grand. There's not even a pub here, so it makes no odds. So I tell you, I started, we'd kind of have to go back to the start. I came to Sweden 12 years ago or 13 years ago with the army. I was in the Irish army and came over here for a training exercise. I was based down in Kövde and Karlsborg, and spent 6 weeks down there and then ended up staying in Sweden. Spent 1 year kind of going over and back, sussing it out, and then went home, packed a 20 kg bag when I was 22 years of age, and just came back and said, fuck it, I'm going to start my life here and see what happens. So I moved to Örebro. And I was in Örebro for a few years, and then I found a little house here in Fellingsbro, and I bought that, and the rest is history.
What was it about Sweden that made you want to stay, Mark? Because we've bumped into people like yourself who've come over here. They've come over here with the armed forces. They've done their training exercise and that, but very few of them put down roots in the way that you've put down roots.
I met a woman, and I ended up going over and back just to visit her for about a year, and then I decided I wanted to move here, and then quite quickly I discovered that that wasn't really the right person that I should have maybe moved to. So we decided to go our separate ways. Mm-hmm. And then I was kind of like, what do I do now? Do I go back to Ireland with my tail between my legs, or do I give this a proper chance? Because I didn't even like Sweden in the beginning. I didn't think it was a nice place to live. I thought the culture was difficult. I thought the language was difficult. I thought there was lots of there was more negative than positive. But I said I'd give it a shot and kind of try and develop my own life and see where that would take me.
Doing that in a big city where there's loads of other Irish people is one thing, but doing that sort of out in the countryside, I mean, there is a community in Örebro. There's a few people, the Walker family and Pelle Bloom is there, and you have a few other people knocking around, like, you know. But how did you come to choose where you lived? Was it just, okay, I'm here now, I'm just going to get cracking?
Do you mean when I moved to Fellingsbro or when I came to Örebro?
Well, a little bit of both. I suppose the woman, I would say, had something to do with Örebro, did she?
Yeah. She was from Örebro. So obviously I ended up there because of that. And then I just kind of started like gathering my own network. Like I met a couple of Irish people and a couple of English people, but like it was nothing. There was no friends. Like it wasn't like at home. And then I just kind of said, well, maybe that's not the option for me. Maybe that's not the right route to go down. Like I shouldn't be trying to come here and look for Irish people to connect with, because this clearly isn't working. And then I kind of got more settled in Sweden and started developing relationships with Swedish people and doing different sports and clubs and learning the language, and all that just kind of blossomed into what my life is now, filled with fucking amazing Swedish people, you know?
How did you get, you're working with the fire brigade down there now, are you?
Yeah, because I'm in Stockholm. I work in Stockholm.
Oh, you work in Stockholm. So do you sort of drive up and down every day to Fellingsbro?
Not every day, but I drive up and down when I'm on shift. Yeah.
Yeah. And how was it? Is that an obvious career path for somebody with your military background, that getting into the fire brigade is going to be easy? Because, you know, with the language and everything else like that, I'd say there's a fair bit to learn, wasn't there?
It's not easy in Sweden. It's not easy to become a fireman. You have two different options. You can study for 2 years. And based on my school results in Ireland, I would have had to do a lot more school work here in Sweden to even be able to, eligible to study to be a fireman. But I wasn't really into that because studying wasn't my thing. Or you can be a part-time fireman in a small town or location. So that's what I did. So I went and moved here to Fenning's Brew, and then I became a part-time fireman here where we live. So I've done that now for 6 years, and then that opened up all these doors for me to. I've worked in Örebro as a full-time fireman for a summer period, and then it opened up doors for me to search jobs in Stockholm. And based on your previous experience as a part-time fireman and your personality, if you can manage to pull together a fantastic interview, you can get your foot in the door, and that's kind of what I did.
How much of that was the gift of the gab, the old licking of the Blarney stone before you went in there to impress these Swedes?
I tell you what, I don't know why it is, but interviews in general just come easy to us from Ireland. I don't know. I think we're very natural. We don't really care. But I think we're also clever enough to know the right things to say and the right things not to say. And I think we come off very well when people are asking us questions, regardless of how intense the situation is. I think Irish people are quite good under pressure. So I guess that I'm an extrovert person, and I've own no intentions on only being myself and doing my best all the time. So I guess people see that.
So when you're on shift now, are you on sort of 3 days on, 4 days off, 4 days on, 3 days off, that kind of thing?
I'm not sure how much you know about the what's going on in Sweden at the moment with the shifts and all that, but there's been from the 1st of February, everyone that's in the fire service, the ambulance, has been affected by this new schedule arrangement that has been brought in by an EU directive. But it's also part of how our, what are they called, our union has made rules for us. So we're not allowed to work 24 hours anymore. So it's causing a bit of an issue, to be honest, because I took this job in Stockholm based on the fact that I could work 24 hours, so that I could work for 24 hours and then I could go home and I'd be home for 2 or 3 days and then I'd drive back up again. But now obviously this changes everything because I'm supposed to work for 12 hours and then I'm maybe off for 8 hours and then I work for 12 hours again. So it's not really worth my while driving home for 8 hours. So often I stay up there. But there's a lot of things up in the air, so I don't want to say too much about it because it'll be, in one way or another, it'll be sorted out next year or in the next 6 to 12 months. I'll either be working in Stockholm, continuing as we were before, or I'll be working somewhere else. So that's the way it is.
Do you enjoy the work, Mark? Because I can imagine that, you know, it can be very fulfilling in some ways, but of course it's, you know, it's very scary work, it's very dangerous work. You get to see things that maybe you didn't want to see, but do you enjoy it in general?
I do enjoy it. I enjoy it thoroughly. It's one thing that I've missed from the army is the crack with the lads. That's kind of it. Like when people would always ask, "Oh, do you not miss the army?" I was in the army for 5 years in Cork, and I do miss the crack. That's kind of it. I've had other jobs in Sweden. I've done lots of other things, but I've always found that regardless of what you come into, you can't build the same relationships. You don't have the same culture. You don't have the same connection with people that you work 9 to 5 with. It's just not the same as it is hanging out with the lads, going through tough situations, going through things, depending on each other, living together at a fire station, you know, cooking meals together. When you go to bed at night time, you say good night to each other. You know, like it's the small things like that that make the job so fulfilling. So if those aren't really that important to you, then you shouldn't be a fireman. But if they are important to you, then it's a fantastic job.
Which station are you based in? Are you on the north side or the south side of the city?
I'm in Sigtuna.
In Sigtuna, okay. Oh, well, then you'd have responsibility for all land and that kind of thing as well, wouldn't you?
Exactly. So we have all of Sigtuna, which is a huge, huge area. It's like 40 minutes from one side to the other. And then we have Märsta and we have Arlanda as well. So we have a huge district.
That's pretty big, all right. It does it be very busy? Would you be out on sort of, you know, 10 calls a day there because everything's burning the
No,
whole time?
it's not like that at all. It's not as intense as you would imagine, but at times then it is very intense, you know? Like often you're trying to find a balance of enough workload contra with, okay, what are we going to do today? So you don't want to do too much, but at the same time, like, because you could go out on a call out and be out all night long, you know. Recently we were on a call out at El Gigante in Mashta, came in at 12 o'clock at night. And we were there for 6 hours, you know, up on the roof and, you know, working for all night long. But that's part of the job. Like, it doesn't happen so often, but when it does happen, you want to be prepared for it.
Is there a lot of that because Arlanda, the biggest airport in Sweden, and maybe even the biggest airport in Scandinavia? But is there a lot of exercise that have to be done? Is there a lot of things that have to be prepared just in case something should happen there?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, like, a lot of the stuff that we do is based on exercise. We train and we train and we train. And the idea is that we're supposed to be experts at a lot of things. And, like, I think every fireman would tell you, with his, if he's being honest with his hand on his heart, we're not experts at everything, because it's quite difficult for us to be experts, because we have so many fields that we're supposed to be very, very good in. But we're very good at solving problems when we get there. Like, we're not, I personally don't think, I'm not like, oh, I'm fucking fantastic at this and that and that. I'm not, but I'm really good at adapting to different situations. Like, we go in with a plan and this is what we're supposed to do. Oh, fuck, that plan didn't work out. Okay, switch, change your mindset, do something else. Do, you know, that we're really good at that stuff. And I think that's what helps us when we do train and when we do real life scenarios.
Speaking of adapting to different situations, not only are you a former military man, not only are you a fireman, you're now Robinson Mark. You're now famous, a TV star, no less. How on earth did you get yourself onto that island and that particular program?
Like, these interviews that you do when you're going for jobs, you know, you sit there in front of these board of people and you tell them about who you are and you tell them about what you stand for, and they either like it or they don't, you know. And
But
either
did they
way, it
come looking
doesn't.
for you, Mark, or did you go looking for them? Did somebody say to you, you should be on that show? You have the physique, you have the problem
No.
solving.
So what happened was, my girlfriend came home in October 2 years ago, or 1.5 years ago. And she told me that her friends at work started watching Robinson and they thought that she should apply for the show. And I didn't know what Robinson was. I don't really watch that much television, and I definitely don't watch much reality television. So I'd heard of it, but I didn't know what it entailed. So she came home and started talking about it. And I said, what is it like? What do they do? So she told me what they do. And I said, geez, that sounds cool. Are you going to apply? And she said, oh, I don't know. And I'm very like black or white. You know, I gave you the option to say you were going to apply and you hesitated. Okay, so I take that as a no. So I took out my phone there and then. I said, fuck it, I'll apply, because that sounded fun. So I applied there and then, and didn't hear anything for about 2 or 3 months. And then they called me up one day and said, hey, we'd like to take you to Stockholm for just a quick interview. I did that, and then I did another interview, and then that was it. Then they rang me up when I was at home in Ireland last summer and said, we want you to come on the show.
What was it like getting that phone call? You were knocking around having a few pints with the lads back in Cork and that kind of thing. This +46 number comes up and goes, hey, Mark, we want you to do this TV show. You could be away for, 6 weeks or whatever, making it. Are you in or not? Like, did you ever doubt that you wanted to go ahead with it?
I never doubted that I wanted to go ahead with it, but when, as it became closer, I was like, geez, now I'm going to be away from my family. I'm going to be away from Sophie and the dogs, and I'm going to be away for up to 2 months. But at the same time, this is such a fantastic opportunity that I could never, ever say no to. You know, I would never risk the chance of saying no to this. So there's a little bit where you're like, okay, I'm going to miss home. I'm going to miss my life here, but I'll just put that on pause for 2 months. I'll go there. And I'm going to get a life experience that I'm going to have forevermore, you know?
Now, this is one of those things that the show is still going on as we're talking, right? And you've signed all sorts of non-disclosure agreements, and you can't tell me anything about who's going to win or how you did or anything else like that. So we're not going to even broach those questions. But what I will ask you is, what was life like on the island? Some people go to these things and they're gone after 2 or 3 days. You've been on a couple of episodes now, and it looks like things are going well for you. Is it a very intense atmosphere? Is it something that you're living, like Big Brother, we are 24 hours a day, or is there downtime attached?
You're there 24 hours a day. There's no getting away from where you are. You can't get off the island. You're stranded with those people. Obviously, you can walk to the other side of the beach, or you can do that. But I mean, I think like in everything in life, you're drawn to the people that you're drawn to because of those specific reasons. So for me, I was drawn to my friends that I now have, that I talk to probably two or three times a week. You know, we're a group of people that have regular conversations. And this was also a huge selling point for me when I was advertising myself in front of all these people in Stockholm, when they're asking, oh, why should we send you on Robinson? And I'm like, well, you don't know me, so obviously what I say now you're not going to understand until the show sends. But I'm going to develop relationships with people that I'm going to have for the rest of my life, and these relationships are going to change my life in a positive way. But I understand that you don't know me, so you just have to take my word for it. But the downtime is ridiculous. The dead time that you're on the island is not reflected at all on television. You can't get any understanding how intense it is. What I think is you know what happens is when I'm so used to doing Swedish interviews, I lose my English.
Yeah, and
And
you're about to use the Swedish word. That happens on this podcast all the time, pal.
all the time I'm all like, what's the word? You get a real reality check, because the people that we say, the people that go there, that went and did all these interviews, and maybe had your breakfast that morning, and then you had your fifth cup of coffee, and you know you have your family at home, and you're able to lie and pretend that you're actually okay in your head, that your mental health is perfect. Oh, I'm perfect. I'm so happy. Life is great. Blah blah blah. And then you take those people or that person there to that environment, and you take away food, you take away coffee, you take away nicotine, you take away all these things that they can rely on in their everyday life to pretend that they're okay. And it's not the same person. So you get a real reality check on, okay, I think that I'm really healthy. I think that I'm really happy in my head at home. And then you come there and you're like, you know what? I'm not that bad. I'm actually pretty good. It's a good reality check. I feel good because I'm looking at someone here and I'm like, well, at least I'm not behaving like that, you know?
I
So.
can imagine. Yeah. Just don't be that guy slash girl over there in the corner kind of thing, you know. How much of it is because there's some team tasks. There are things that you have to do by yourself. There are things that you have to be in good physical condition for. There are things that you have to be a good problem solver for. How intense was that part of it? Did you feel that like, okay, I have to win every minute of every show when you were involved?
I never felt for 1 minute like pressure. I'm not that type of person. I'm not nervous for me, because I'm so happy with myself. I'm so happy with my life. I'm so happy with what I've developed here in Sweden. So I'm very centered in, I will always do my best. And for me, that's good enough. So I don't care. Like, if I will always do my best. And by doing my best, I'm going to try and win, of course. But if I don't, it is what it is. You know, at least I know I've done my best. So that aspect of it was fine. I wasn't nervous. I wasn't like, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that. It was, I need to be Mark. I don't need to be anyone else.
There is that thing of, you know, when you go into that situation, and so some people will be trying to put forward a certain side of themselves, but you know, that kind of falls away after a couple of days because you can't keep it up for that long, you know.
Exactly. Exactly.
Speaking of which, right? Yeah, go ahead.
And that's coming forwards now more and more as we progress, because now we're into week three, we're starting week four. And now exactly what you spoke about, that's starting to come forwards now, where those sides that you were able to maybe put forwards, they're not so valuable anymore. Now you're trying to survive for real, you know?
Yeah, the cracks are beginning to show, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Does it happen now? Because, like you say, we're coming up on week four now as we're talking, right? I mean, you're out there doing your job. You've been on duty in Sigtuna for the last few weeks and that kind of thing. You know, has this made a huge change to the way people perceive you? You know, do you go out on a fire and they go, oh, there's Robinson Mark, you know, that kind of thing?
Not really. I mean, Swedish people, how long have you lived there?
25 years.
Okay, well then you have a good understanding about Swedish people.
I
Swedish
would
people
hope
are
so.
very Swedish people are very reserved. You know, they don't like to say much. So what happens is you'll get an awful lot of people that look at you, but Swedish people don't dare to come up and talk to you. And that's fine, you know, I have no problem with that. At the same time, I have no problem if someone comes up and talks to me. But you get the odd person here and there that has the balls to say, "Hey, I was watching you on television, you know, or whatever. I'm rooting for you," and it's great. And like, I get the random messages here and there, and I reply directly because I'm just happy for whatever support anyone wants to give, you know.
You were saying there that, you know, part of being in the army and being in the fire brigade was the crack with the lads. What's the crack with the lads been like since you've been on television every Saturday night and they're sitting there at home with their popcorn watching their workmate?
We're getting good entertainment out of it.
Ah,
Everyone that knows me is happy. Everyone that knows me is kind of expects the picture that I'm being portrayed with now at the moment on television. It's kind of what people expect from me. It's also how I've told them I should be perceived, because for me, everyone talks a lot about what if they cut it in a way that makes you look bad, or if they put it at an angle that makes you look bad? And my answer to that has been, to be honest, I don't think that they will. Of course, they can if they want, because I've surely said something that they can change to a negative, you know. But the majority of everything I've said is positive, and the majority of everything I've done is positive. And there's enough, I call them frivilia idioter.
Voluntary idiots.
Voluntary idiots on the program that are like, "Hey, I put my hand up here. You can cut this whatever way you want. I'll do and say whatever you want to be
Yeah,
famous. It's
I'm
no
about to
problem."
say something really fucking
Yeah,
dumb
yeah, yeah,
now.
yeah, yeah, yeah. So like, we have enough. We call them heat seekers in the army, you know, like they're fantastic, and I'm delighted they're with us on the program, because they lift me, they lift the things that I value and the things that I stand for. These people that say the opposite, they lift up, and I get more importance in what I have to say, you know.
Yeah.
So
But see, it's very
it's
difficult
great.
as well though, Mark, you know, because like, okay, if you say one thing that's negative or one thing that's out of character or whatever, you can't build a whole TV series or your
No,
part in a
no.
TV series on one thing. So it really does that, you know, and no editor wants to go looking for those things either, you know. So if you're coming across as a genuinely nice guy, most of the time they'll just go, yeah, whatever, you know. What
Yeah.
was the objective, Mark? Was it just to go and have a cool experience, or was it to win? Do you want to be a celebrity? Do you want this to change your life, or do you just want to go back to being who you were and enjoying the life that you built for yourself here?
What I want out of this, which is a really good question, it's very specific what I want. And what I want is, I want to be able to go out and meet people. I want to be able to build a platform. I want to be able to show people the life that I have gotten in 12 years as a non-Swedish person is 100% based on my attitude and my mindset towards meeting new people and doing new things. Like, I'm going to start, after the show is finished. I have a couple of people around me that really want me to get into motivation speaking, and just talking about how I've taken myself from this guy that came here 12 years ago, who couldn't even get a job in Örebro washing dishes, to where I am now, running my own business with the last 6 years, working as a fireman, and now getting to represent all the things that are important for me. So that's kind of it. Like, I've always said I don't care what anyone thinks about me, as long as they have the right impression, as long as they have the right perception of me. That's all that matters. And then they can decide what they want to do with that. As long as they see, okay, I know how he is as a person. I know exactly 100%. I don't like him. That's fine. But I wouldn't like that if they didn't like, or they don't like me, but they don't know me, you know.
Yeah. Well, the other thing about that is, on, you know, like in when you're a public figure, like you're becoming a public figure, you are a public figure now in Sweden. That's so outside of your control, you know, because you just get some people, you know, who just don't like Irish people, you know, for some reason. There are freaks and weirdos like that out there, you know. And once you let that go and you realize, well, Their opinion doesn't really matter, and concentrate, as you said, on the positive, on the people that you are inspiring and the people that look up to you and say, I'd like to be that guy. I'd like to be, you know, have his cool under pressure and his smarts and, you know, do the things he does physically. Because the others, even if you do convince them, for what? Like, you know, you spend so much energy on these aegis, like, you know, has there been any negative reaction to it at all, Mark?
To my role,
Yeah, exactly.
I'm
You
just
haven't had anybody coming up to you in Sieg Doona going, oh, who do you think you are coming on Errol Robinson kind of thing?
no, like I haven't. And to be honest, I've tried. I've looked. You know, I've searched. Like, and I know my friends are very good at watching flashback. You know, the forum.
Oh, yeah. If it hasn't happened on Flashback, it hasn't happened at all.
And to be honest, I didn't even know what Flashback was. And my friends started telling me about it. They're like, oh, you have to search Robinson 2024 on Flashback. I was like, okay, what's that like? So I went in and I was looking, and there was some comments, like, but nothing negative or nothing overly negative. No one saying anything that, like, I would have ever be offended by. You know, I wouldn't really care anyway, because I like everyone can have their opinion, and I feel that the production team has done a good enough job to lift all the points that are important to me. So now everyone can gather their opinion, and what it is what it is. But the majority, like, everything I've seen is positive. I think, like I said, the fact that we have a couple of people on the show that are very the opposite to me mean that people don't go looking. People don't go trying to slate me or trying to slate good people, because there's enough bad people that they can talk shit about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's amazing. For those who don't know, Flashback is sort of an old-fashioned bulletin board, and is, you know, has everything from politics to sports to everything like that. And it's one of these places where, you know, if you want to talk about freedom of speech, people literally do not care. They're liable to shit out of anybody if they want to. And it's a great place for a good old conspiracy theory as well. But not that we want to be Googling Mark Bannon and Flashback. That's not what we want to be doing at all. Mark, tell me, and thanks very much for your time. It's been fascinating to talk to you. But what's life like for you in Fellingsbrough? Are you from rural Ireland? Is that what you were doing? Were you trying to find your way back to your roots, except in rural Sweden this time?
I was and I wasn't. I was trying to find a place where the cheapest houses were. That's what I was trying to find. And I was trying to find a house that I could afford, because I only had a little dog. So I said, okay, I have to buy a house by myself. The dog isn't pulling in much income, so the majority of it is going to be landed on me. And I found a little house out here. Then I started a CrossFit gym in the community. And everyone just accepted me as one of their own. They took me in as the only Irish guy in Fellingsbrough and as part of the family. And now we have an amazing community here that is the biggest reason why I will never move to Stockholm, or why people ask me, oh, why do you live there? Because I have this. I've built my life around these relationships and my friends. And that will always be more important to me. My life will always be more important than my job, because that's what makes me happy. So for me, it's about, I grew up in the countryside in Ireland. I wasn't used to the unfriendliness of the city. I thought Örebro was quite difficult. But then when I came here, it opened up a whole new world for me that I would never look back.
Yeah. Well, what do you do the whole time there? You mentioned having a CrossFit gym there. Is that something that's, like, you know, is that the business that you've been running for the last 6 years?
I've been running it for the last 6 years. My girlfriend came into the picture about 5 years ago, and since then we've been running it together. But I started it on my own, and it was my way of getting a footprint into the community, learning to know how it works here, getting to meet people. Then I started working as a besiktnings technica. So I work for like an NCT tester.
Oh, very good, yeah.
Yeah, like NCT or DOE. So I started doing that as well, kind of in Arboga, which is just over the road. And I was working part-time as a fireman here. So I was also working in the school here as well. So I've had a lot of connections with just Fellingsbrough. And then I started aiming for being a full-time fireman, just as I was getting a bit older. That was always the plan. But I still work part-time testing with the trucks, because I like cars. I have a huge interest in cars and bikes. I do enduro, motocross, have a couple of old classic Toyotas that would have been dream cars for me when I was a little kid growing up in the countryside in Ireland. So yeah, everything with, I've done car racing in Sweden. I've done STCC for 2 years, but not with their cars, with different cars, legend cars. So I've put down roots in a lot of directions.
When you were coming over here with that 20 kilos of luggage that time, going, right, I don't really know what I want to do, but I don't want to be what I've just been doing. Did you ever imagine it could have been as positive as this? You could have been on the TV, being a fireman, doing all these things.
Never, never. I could have never imagined that my life would have turned out as good as it did. But I also know that it would never, all the stuff that I've done and are doing wouldn't have been possible in Ireland. I wouldn't have been able to achieve what I've achieved here in Ireland. So that also makes me very grateful for everything that I have and everything that I've done. So it's like I often say it, every year that I've lived in Sweden, my life gets better and better. There's always some implement for every single year. There's something that happens and it generates enormous wealth, both mind and body, every year. And it's always fucking fantastic and it's positive. And it's hard to get sick of that.
It certainly is. I think that's going to be the tagline for this podcast now. It's hard to get sick of that. We'll be using that for years to come. Mark, it's been fascinating talking to you. It's brilliant to watch your progress now. We're not going to ask you anything about how this turns out or anything else like that, but I can tell you for sure that we'll be all stuck in front of our televisions on Saturday nights for the foreseeable future. But for now, thanks very much for talking to me.
No problem at all.
No.
Cheers for that, Philip.
Det som viktigt med elden väl att vi kanske kommer få möjligheten att hämta någon fisk. Jag vill veta hur svårt det är just i det här läget och veta vad jag har jobbat med. Om det är helt omöjligt eller om det finns hopp. Jag är ursprungligen från Irland men jag har bott i Sverige snart 12 år.
Hjälmen.
Jag är en aktiv person. Jag älskar att vara igång hela tiden. Har svårt att sitta still. Jag älskar utmaningar och jag älskar att träffa folk. Det är ett sätt som jag har tagit mig ganska långt i Sverige med att vara utåt hela tiden och utvecklas framåt. Så jag tror det blir samma sak här. Jag kommer att skapa relationer, bygga självförtroende med folk och utvecklas framåt hela tiden.
There you go. That was Mark Bannon introducing himself on Robinson, the Swedish version of Survivor. And of course it's not on SVT, lads. Of course it's on TV4. I knew that. Sure, I know everything about this country, don't I? Me here years and everything else like that. I actually didn't know that at all. But yeah, it's on TV4. And now he's after getting through the third week and into the fourth week. So I think it's probably time that we started watching that now as well. Other things we can do together. Keep your eye out now on the 25th of April, right? There is also a WhatsApp community, right? And I tend to dump things like this in there. So if you don't hear it in the podcast, sometimes I drop it in there. And it's very handy because I can drop in links and that kind of thing as well. But as you might know, I think it's at the beginning of June, the Republic of Ireland women are coming over here and they're going to be playing the Swedish women here in the Friends Arena in Stockholm. And you know me, lads, if you've been listening to this podcast before, all about the women's football, I think we should all go there and watch them play. I'll probably be there working anyway, but I think that we should all try to team up when the tickets come out on the 25th of April and say, right, here's, we're buying tickets for this section, good luck, right? We just go in there and buy all the tickets for one section, right? Somebody who knows something about Friends Arena, I'm sure some of the lads will know that, and say, right, let's all buy tickets for this particular section and let's go and have a bit of crack. The Irish women are in the same group alongside Sweden, who drew 1-1 with England the other night, and we're in there with France. France beat us 1-0, only a single goal in it, which is really great for our girls. Now, we didn't look like we're creating a whole lot going forward, but this is something entirely new. You know, we're at the very, very top level of European women's football at the moment, and it's going to be difficult, and who knows, they may not even take a point. But I'll tell you something for nothing, they won't do anything unless we're there to support them. So get your kids, get your neighbours, get your neighbours' kids, get anybody who has a green sweat, get anybody whatsoever, and we'll stick them all in the one section, and we get the Irish Swedish community out. I must actually check what time the kickoff is, because it might even be possible for our friends in Yavla to come down and get back up in the same evening. You know, if they might get off the site a little bit early and, you know, organize a couple of buses or minibuses or trains or whatever to get them down there, because it would be great to get as many people as possible out to that game. And sure, who knows, we might even do a little old event the night before or something like that. My god, I'm getting ideas now with a microphone in my hand. That's never very good at all. Right, listen, I'm off back to my sick bed. I'm going to try and find the last of the Lemsip, which is down at the bottom of the wardrobe. A big thanks to Martin Hesham for sponsoring the podcast from Veerstrom's Pub. Make sure now that you get in there and get your tables booked for the climax of the Premier League and all the other great sport that's coming up. The GAA Football Championship is starting today, as far as I know. The early rounds are starting off, so there's plenty to get yourself in the book there with Martin. And of course, the Irish Chamber have been so supportive. At the moment, I have to say, we're talking to some new sponsors for the podcast, some great Irish companies who I'm very much looking forward to welcoming on board. More of which anon. I shall leave it at that, lads. Until next week, take care of yourselves, take care of one another, and I'll talk to you again very, very soon on the Irish in Sweden podcast. Good luck.